On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we hang pantookas on the ceiling and pile pancunas on the floor as we find Christian themes in Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. What is it about the Who's that initially offends the Grinch, but ultimately transforms him? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. In, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 37. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
That sounds just like Boris Karloff.
Oh, good.
You've been working on that?
No. Oh. No. Michael, again, I've been under the weather and can't really do a voice today.
There's a sickness, a pox. A pox on you, sir.
Hey, whoa. Let's not bite any thumbs, okay?
That's been going on here for the past couple of weeks. I think we were both sick last week.
I didn't know you were sick.
Yeah, but see, I cover it up pretty well.
Yeah, you can cover it up.
Hey, what's been going on?
Well, we finished the play.
Finally
finished the play.
Three more performances. Made a total of six.
Yeah, total of six.
So how'd it go?
We actually ended on a good note.
Hey!
We were kind of, I don't want to say let down, but that's what it felt like on the first weekend.
Okay.
But then the second weekend happened, and things just took off.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool.
Well, I have a little anecdote for you there.
Oh, no.
Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon?
Yep.
Okay. Sunday morning, we drove into Flat Creek there, just south of town, Sheppel,
right. Yeah.
To the Flat Creek United Methodist Church. My daughter was partaking in a puppet play that went on during the services. So my whole family, we went there. Incidentally, it's the first time I had ever been to a Methodist service.
Oh, hey.
And I don't know if it counts because this is such a little country church that it was just, I mean, we've been there several times, but never during a service. And they, as a sidebar, the guy gets up and starts off the service, and something that he said totally resonated with me, and I wanted to share this with you and all the listeners. Oh, he said, you know what? The first time you're with us, you're a guest. Anytime after that, you're one of us. Hey, what do you think of that? You're one of us.
Ooh.
I like that. Because that is, hey, you're here for a second time. You're in the group now. You are part of the club. Welcome. You're one of us. And that was very comforting, and I really liked that. That really resonated with me. But anyway, so during the service, they do this this puppet play and that one of my daughters is involved in. We had a good time and all that stuff. Well, at the end of the service, there they have sharing time. Anybody have anything that they want to share that happened with the last week?
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh,
so,
no.
One old fella, Brendan, and all these people I've seen in town, you've seen them in town. I mean, Shelbyville, it's bigger than the town I live in now, but it's still small town USA.
Yeah.
And one couple, this old fella stands up. He says, I just want to let everybody know, my wife and I, we went to the Fly. We had been going to the Fly for, 18 years or whatever. And we went and saw, what was it? Something about, honey, where's my pants?
No.
What is it?
Totally different show. Totally different universe. The play is called Don't Dress for Dinner.
Okay, well, that's what he said, as a matter of fact.
Okay, and, good. I would hope he said that.
So, and he said that was the best production that they have ever witnessed there. He said they were laughing from start to finish. How does that make you feel?
Oh, that makes me feel real good.
No, that wasn't Sunday, so that had to be either, I can't remember what he said. It was either Friday night or Saturday night.
Friday or Saturday, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, that makes me feel so
good. That's what you liked. All the
fuzzy. Warm and fuzzy. Yes. Yes.
There you go. Merry Christmas. A little early Christmas thanks. Present for you. So,
Thanks, unknown stranger at the Methodist Church. I probably know who you are.
You're probably not even strangers.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. What else?
Oh, man. Let's see. That's really about it, except I made it to the movies this week.
Oh, what'd you see? A lot of good stuff out this week.
There is a lot.
How did you choose?
By the way, it wasn't, and I wish it was, but it wasn't The Hobbit.
Oh.
I didn't get The Hobbit. Let's see. The Carmike Cinema in Murfreesboro, they actually offered a marathon, and it was on Monday the 15th. 2 days before the official release of the film by
itself. Were they showing all three?
They showed all three. They started at 1. Let's see. The first one was at 1 o'clock. The second one was at 4 o'clock, I think. And then the Battle of the Five Armies was at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
But if you wanted to see one, you had to see all three.
Okay.
So I didn't get off of work Monday until 5, so I couldn't.
You weren't even able to.
Yeah. And then, you know, Hobbit officially came out yesterday, or Wednesday, whatever today is.
We have mutual friends that went up to Tom Lengto and his daughter went to the IMAX in Nashville up
Tom.
There and saw all three.
Tom, no wonder you weren't at church.
Okay, so I'm glad that you haven't seen it before me, because we're waiting for my folks to come into town California so that we can go and see it. So hopefully.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's a wonderful experience.
We won't, I don't think I'll be able to talk about it on the next episode, but probably the New Year's episode, and we'll talk more about the New Year's episode at the end of the show. So, what did you pick to see?
I picked a little Exodus, Gods and Kings.
All the kids say? No?
Go back home, kids. No celebration here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude, it was so. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw my first impression tweet. Too much spectacle, not enough heart, and that unfortunately is so true of this movie.
Okay, well, without getting into detail, because we want people to go to ChristInCinema.com and read Brendan's Monday movie review on Exodus, Gods and Kings. Do real quick instead. You had good things to say about the Noah movie. That was our most recent epic biblical movie. Like, real quick, I mean, what's the difference between those two? Because you had positive things to say.
Well, yeah, I had positive things to say about that one, because that movie, Noah, at least sparked enough interest for people to go back and read.
Hey, what does the scripture really say?
Yeah, exactly. They want to see, hey, what does this really say? Then, of course, with Aronofsky, he didn't just use the Bible as his one source.
Right.
So it also led people to check out the other sources, like with the rock monsters and everything, which, by the way, I still think are pretty cool, even though they're not.
I haven't seen the movie.
They're not biblical. But anyway, this movie, though, Exodus, Gods and Kings, it practically sticks to the Bible in a physical way.
Yeah.
As in, you know, you've got the course of events that
happened. Then this happened, and then
like, you've got that, but
so analytically it
exactly, like, it's there on paper.
Okay.
It's there, and actually,
but it's telling a different story.
It's telling a so different story, because Moses is portrayed differently. God himself is portrayed differently, and Ramses himself, the Bible never says Ramses, but Pharaoh is portrayed differently, and it's so weird, and it's that, and when I say spectacle, I mean, like, all the special effects that are used in the plagues, which look really cool.
Yeah.
But they're not given enough time. In fact, the whole movie is shortchanging itself.
Okay.
And it just, it makes me mad, because I had so much hope for this one.
Well, yeah. Okay, but now let's do this little contrast. Darren Aronofsky is not as, or at least that I ever read, has as much animosity towards the scripture. He was raised Jewish.
Yeah.
And he drew on the things that he was taught and built on them, because he did go to extra biblical sources and what have you. It almost seems, as a spectator standing back, I'm not invested in that movie at all, but from what I've read, it seems that he was treating it a little more respectfully, even though it's fantastic in, you know, in some of its scope.
Yeah.
Whereas Exodus, Gods and Kings, Ridley Scott makes no bones about it. He believes that religion is the source of the greatest evil in the world.
Yeah.
That's his words.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, who is, let's just be honest, he's no scholar. Okay. Christian Bale can act under certain circumstances, I might add.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it goes. Well, he said in no uncertain terms that Moses is the most schizophrenic, crazy person he has ever read about in his life. I can't help but believe that he only ever read about Moses once he agreed to do this film. Because I did see a little clip, Ridley Scott talking about when he, you know, he'd been wanting to work with Christian Bale for years, but they never had anything that they could come together on. And then he presents this, script for Exodus. And Christian Bale didn't even want to read. Nah, I don't even want, you know, really, this is your name written all over it. So the dynamics there, you can't be surprised, Brendan.
Yeah.
You know, everybody get over to Christ in Cinema. Ooh. And read that Monday movie review.
And let's actually talk about it, because it needs to be talked about.
Yeah, so leave some comments in the thread. Maybe we can come back and talk a little bit more on future episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema. Well, Brendan, I had a great movie experience this week.
Well, good.
I finally got around to seeing Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Wow. You know, I've been hearing all along people saying this might be the greatest superhero movie of them all.
Well, I wouldn't say the...
Well, neither would I.
I wouldn't say the greatest, but it's
way up there.
Yeah.
Way up there, just because the intrigue and the scope and how you want to perceive Captain America, which he has traditionally been perceived as, you know, kind of like Superman, you know, the big overgrown Boy Scout and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you really get to know more about Captain America and what he stands for, and great act. Oh, man. Okay, what about the little Easter egg at the very end when Nick Fury, Captain America, they're all at Nick Fury's gravesite? What does it say on that tombstone?
I can't remember. I haven't seen it in a while.
Verbatim. You don't have to remember verbatim, because the righteous man, it's a quote from his character is Jules from Pulp Fiction. It's a total nod to Jules. Because it has that, you know, the Ezekiel quotes on there.
Oh, I never thought of it.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. I remember it now, but I never thought of it as
a nod. Everybody, next time you watch that, go back and pay attention to that tombstone at the end of the movie. So anyhow, I'm glad that I got to see it. I got to see it in the comfort of my own home. And I had the opportunity to turn on the subtitles so I could hear the TV.
Hey, there you go.
Anything else?
No, man, I think we're ready.
Ready for what?
A little real news.
Roll it! I took it! Oh, big news this week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the hackers have won.
Yes.
Sony has canceled its releasing of The Interview.
More than that, Brendan, the terrorists have won.
Now, Michael.
Yeah, no, continue on, sir.
Not even a month has passed since the database of Japanese electronics and entertainment giant Sony was hacked by an unknown team. And the ramifications have culminated into the cancellation of the Seth Rogen, James Franco bro comedy, The Interview, in which two comedy show hosts are invited to interview, get it, interview?
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un. And are subsequently asked by the CIA to, quote, take him out.
Huh?
Do you still not have that?
Sound? I haven't bothered.
Sony's decision follows a week's worth of news reporting that major theater chains upon the surfacing of death threats that brazenly remind us of 9/11, opted out of hosting the film.
Terrorism. That's terrorism.
There you go. And I got two different links in the show notes. We'll get to the other one in a second. But one of them actually does have the threat itself. And it says, remember the 11th of September 2001. Anybody near a theater that will show this movie might want to step back. You know, just paraphrasing.
Yeah.
How, and I rarely use the word brazen, but how brazen is that?
Yeah.
Okay. While some executives are touting that free speech is the true victim in this decision, others are glad that Sony isn't risking human life just to see Rob Lowe take off a wig.
Okay.
Okay. And Gizmodo's Brian Barrett has the best closing sentiment. Quote, the worst part about letting the hackers win this time is that it means they'll keep winning over and over without even having to play.
I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts and discussions on this whole ordeal. This is an ordeal.
Yeah.
Someone went so far as to say, welcome to the war of the future that can be staged by private individuals. Cyber war. Here's the deal. At first they said, okay, well, this is the North Korean government, because they don't like the way that Kim Jong-un is being portrayed. This is them doing it. And then the North Korean government say, no, we're not involved in that in any way. And then they're trying now, you know, because hackers such as this, they go through router after router after, and they are able to direct their signal through all kinds of countries. Mm-hmm. They just happen to many times come through Chinese computers, Russian computers, Ukraine, all kinds of different locations. Well, I heard, and I can't say who it was, you're going to have to look into this on your own. There was a government official that said, yes, it was the North Korean government that is responsible for this.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't have any hard, cold facts to back them up. Okay, so that's where that little report or that statement falls. Because, hey, you can't just say things like that. You got to have something to back it up. Anyway, it's crazy. This is absolutely nuts. What has happened with the leak of information from Sony Pictures is crazy. People's salaries, what they're paid to do this movie, what movies are coming. They took movies, all kinds of movies, and released them on BitTorrents and things such as that. Nasty things that were said about actors and people in high positions
and actresses. Especially Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, really?
Well, like nothing. Well, I haven't read of anything malicious against her personally, but just the fact that in the movie American Hustle, she and Amy Adams were paid considerably less than their male counterparts.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
I know. Oh, yeah. That's,
wow.
I actually got got a list on that other link.
Yeah.
I got a list of what happened, like a timeline plot. And it's really cool. Like it starts all the way back on November 24th, where the LA Times reported on the hack.
Okay.
And then
let's not release any specific information, because that's rumor. That's rumor mongering. So, but yeah, they said things bad about her. They said terrible things about Angelina Jolie, bad things about Leonardo DiCaprio. Releasing private information about all sorts of big names.
Even backbiting the president.
Things about President Obama. Plus stealing their movies and all this. Well, it comes down to this, Brendan. It's very likely that Sony Pictures will not survive.
And that's what, to me, that's not good.
Well, here's something we've been talking about. We've been posting links, and when we get to our Facebook rundown, things regarding Spider-Man. There are things regarding the Fantastic Four we talked about. See, now Sony and Fox have the rights to certain Marvel properties that Disney doesn't have. Well, Disney and Marvel want it back so that they can incorporate it into the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Well, maybe now, you know, I'm not saying that that's a good, that's now, a good thing.
Well,
but,
now, Michael, are you suggesting that this is a Disney conspiracy?
No.
Are you pulling a Mel Gibson right now?
No, I am not. No conspiracy theories on my part. All I'm saying is that my whole point is Sony, you guys were kind of knuckleheads in the way that you wanted open communication, which is fine. That's understandable. But they did it at the expense of all of this, because they said, well, we'd rather have open exchange of information and communication between all employees and whatnot. What's the worst that could happen? Well, this is the worst that could happen. And their movies that they have spent millions of dollars on are now going in the can. You know, such as the interviews?
The interview? The interview.
Okay.
The singular, just one.
Oh, okay.
The interview, and then... Well, I mean, it's mentioned in the rundown, but the Steve Carell / Gore Verbinski thriller. Film. Yeah, a thriller.
Steve, I wanted to see Steve Carell in a thriller.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Hey, he's got chops.
Yeah, but it's been canceled now.
Yep,
because of this debacle.
Wow, crazy. What else? Anything else regarding this?
No, man. Listeners, check out those links if you're curious. They'll catch you up on what's going on, and we at FCC will try to do so as well.
Yep, there you go. All right, how about some fun news?
Yes, some levity, please.
Levity, coming right now from firstshowing.net. Trip to Skull Island delayed for change to title. No, not really, Brendan. The film isn't being delayed for time needed to change the title, because that's already happened. And the film will be known henceforth as Kong Skull Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the Tom Hiddleston-led film was originally announced at Comic-Con and was slated for a November 2016 release day. But they've pondered whether Universal and Legendary Pictures could have pushed the date back in order to avoid pitting the King of Apes against Doctor Strange. Well, then they conceded that a 5-month delay was more likely to allow time to, quote, make sure the film is ready for release and not rushed, unquote. They further speculated on the possibility of seeing King Kong clashing with Godzilla, seeing as how today's visual effects technology could ably lend itself to such a spectacle. Now, with a new name fashioned to capture and secure the brand, Kong Skull Island will do its part to further bolster the new magic year with a new release date of March 10th, 2017. What do you think?
Man, that gets me excited.
I'm very happy to be reporting on this movie. This is...
Yeah. And Tom Hiddleston, hey.
Yep, Loki is going to go there and with his magic thing, take out Kong.
The magic wand.
Yeah. So anyway, I do like that that they changed the title, because I've been thinking all along, Skull Island, that could be, I mean, I'm thinking Peter Pan, I'm thinking, you know,
yep.
Whatever. But to put Kong there in the front leaves no question about who this film is about. Anything else?
No, I think it's time for a...
You want to go to the movies?
Oh, no, we got to do the rundown.
Oh, yes, it is. I forgot. We have all kinds of stuff. A quick rundown of the articles posted on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page this past week at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Take it away, Mr. Brendan Taylor.
The Steve Carell / Gore Verbinski North Korean thriller just got canceled, too.
Hey, I heard of that.
Hey, we already talked about that.
Oh.
# does anyone else feel like a fried egg?
I don't get it.
Okay, bonus points if you do.
Okay.
Without looking at IMDb. The Library of Congress. Now, this is cool.
Yes.
The Library of Congress to preserve 25 more films, because it's not a good movie unless it's been preserved, right? And the pictures we got on the Facebook page, we see the Big Lebowski. We see Saving Private Ryan. I don't know what this third film is. Is the woman holding the knife? I don't know. I don't know. But then we have a black and white still of Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
Oh,
from Willy Wonka
nice.
And the Chocolate Factory. Yeah.
Well, I'm good to know that somebody is willing to preserve some films.
Hey, there you go. Unlike Sony Pictures, which is the next article, but we already talked about that. Let's see. Oh, this week, of course, we're talking about The Grinch. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 is, quote, kind of a reboot, says Legolas. What?
Yeah, they're trying to get him back on board. And he's saying, whoa, I haven't signed up yet. But, it's something to do with his character's son and looking like a kind of a reboot and a run alongside. Pretty interesting. Go over and read that article.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman. Bill, I always forget how to say his name. Bill Nighy?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
He's great.
Morgan Freeman, Bill Nighy, yes. And Ken Watanabe on the Doctor Strange shortlist.
Oh, yes! Oh, no, not you guys. Yeah.
Wrong kids there.
Oh, man.
Mark Hamill on why he wasn't in the Star Wars 7 teaser.
Yes, it's a great little quote from him that I'm not buying at all. He says, hey, we weren't in it because the torch is being passed on to the younger generation. I say, nay.
No, it's a marketing technique.
Yes, it is a marketing technique.
That's
and because
all it is.
Everybody wants to see Han Solo, Princess Leia, and Luke Skywalker.
Yep. Oh, remember the tale of the two Jungle Book films we told you about on the podcast?
I do.
And I believe we actually gave a good rundown on that on the episode with the Theonauts.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the Dead Poets Society episode. Well, here's some art from the Disney production.
I love it.
And this one's going to be the first production, right?
Yeah, the Disney production,
yeah.
Yes. John Favreau.
Yeah, the Favreau.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, when Disney bought Marvel, they got some good...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're smart.
Is Ben Batfleck's Batsuit... based on Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Say that 10 times real fast.
Ben Batfleck's Batsuit. Okay, that's all I got. That was just one time.
Yes, they are. It looks like they are drawing heavily on Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, that's the quintessential Dark Knight.
And if anything, you can just tell by the bat symbol how broad it is.
Yeah, pretty excited. I'm getting more and more excited for that, even with Ben Batfleck.
Oh. Who's got that fresh Mockingjay review?
We do.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, you can read about that on ChristInCinema.com, Brendan's Monday movie review.
Yep. Oh, Martin Freeman, quote, kicks the Hobbit.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Oh, man. So he hosted SNL this past weekend, and it was pretty funny from what I saw.
Good deal.
So, you know, he was on the British version of The Office.
Yes.
Well, the main skit is...
I know now.
Oh. Yeah, we know now, yeah. It was set in the office, but it was all Hobbit
everybody
characters.
Says, oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty funny.
I was going to say, everybody says the British version of The Office is the good version.
See, I'm inclined to believe it because I don't really like our version. Okay, anyway. Joe and Anthony Russo to direct Avengers Infinity Wars film.
Yeah.
Infinity War film. Which unfortunately came through us through the Sony leak. That's one good thing that came out of it.
There you go.
Okay, and then there's the real news segment for the Inside Out.
Yes, you want to make sure that you are watching our videos for real news. You can get there. Go to the Christ in Cinema website. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and scroll down there to real news and watch those little videos we put together. Share them with your friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, let's go down to the rumor mill.
Oh, rumor mill coming right up.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheek, 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 talk a lot, take a little more.
Could Andrew Garfield be dropped from the Spider-Man franchise? We here at FCC hope not.
No, I like him.
I know he's a good,
but
he's a good Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Yes, I think so.
And that's where the good balance is.
Yep.
It's just,
and I'd love to see Andrew Garfield interacting with Tony Stark.
That would be good.
Yeah.
It's like Tony Stark's the old, well, I don't want to call him a conservative because he's really not.
No.
But ooh, what if Tony Stark and Peter Parker are just on the same spectrum? Just different ages. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, and see, now, the Spider-Man, that's a Sony property.
Yeah.
It's not it's not Disney's.
Because they had the first trilogy.
Yeah. Back they in rebooted, the, but they're, I yeah. mean, they, Sony doesn't know what they're doing with superhero franchises. They don't know what they're doing. That's mm-hmm. just the simple fact of it. But anyway, so now they're saying, okay, well, how do we do Infinity War without Spider-Man in it? You know, so it's just all this, but who knows? Now with the big to-do, they may get it back. What else?
Well, that's it. I kind of wish we could end on a good note.
But... Hey, we can end on a good note. We can go to the movies. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
He's green, fuzzy, and cuddly as a cactus. The Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
This is stop number one.
The outcast of Whoville, who's nasty as can be.
I must stop this whole thing.
He's about to pull every nasty trick he knows.
You're ugly as a cat, you're as charming as a eel, Mr. Grinch.
Get caught up in the fun in Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The original Grinch is now available on video cassette and DVD. And he looks marvelous. And also available from the doctor, three Seuss favorites.
I'm still on vacation.
In the best of Dr. Seuss, now on video.
How about that little the little shout out to Billy Crystal? He looks marvelous. That's a terrible trailer. That's the best one I could find. That's like from your days with the remix of or redo of such a great song. Who in their right mind would have said, ah, that Thurl Ravenscroft version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch? Bad junk. Let's have some hip hop. Let's have NSYNC do it or whatever.
Yeah, whoever that was.
But that's what you get. So we're going to talk about How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The Boris Karloff led.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that and what memories, thoughts?
One of the... One of the most terrifying scenes I remember from this, can we really call it a movie?
No.
I mean, it's not, it was just a TV special.
Yeah, it's a special.
But it's revered today as a movie, and it's, hey.
And they made a movie out of it.
Yeah, exactly, which we're not going to talk about.
This year?
Not, well, anyway. Just one of the most terrifying scenes from it was when he's just setting out to go down the mountain.
Yeah.
And the sled, you know, topples over the side of the cliff. And then there's this really big zoom in on the Grinch's face with his red eyes.
Yeah.
Or his yellow eyes with the red pupils. Ugh. Like, that's one thing I remember, like, shunning away from.
Yep.
As a child.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't... You know, we usually like to say first time you saw it. How could either one of us remember? It was around 3 years before I was. It's always been in my life. It's always been in your life.
Yeah.
And so, but what we can talk about is about the acting, the voice acting.
Yeah, the voice acting. Yeah.
By the great, the one and only Boris Frankenstein's monster Karloff. Also, mm-hmm. The Mummy. Actually, I like him in The Mummy.
Also,
the original Universal Mummy.
He was something. He was also.
Well, he was in the... Oh, but tons.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of stuff.
My
yeah.
favorite stuff with Boris Karloff is The Mummy, Frankenstein, you know, the Universal Monster movies.
Yep.
His version of The Mummy, was that Universal? I can't remember right now. I'd have to go and look through my VHS tapes. But also, he was in a film called The Terror that starred a young Jack Nicholson.
Ooh, wow.
Like one of his very first... film roles.
Hmm.
Oh, that's a good one. Good one. But anyway, his chiming and tone and tenor and everything about his performance in this great, great film. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I love how, and I'm not sure who made the decision to do it, but how the producers, they kind of have a different sound for when Boris is narrating.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
when he's actually speaking as the Grinch,
mm-hmm.
there I can detect a difference in technique there. I'm sure people can too. It's not that hard. But I like how it does it because he sounds the same. You can tell it's the same person, but you can also tell it's a character difference. You go from omniscient narrator to concise Grinch. And it's a cool device for me.
I agree with you.
And I love the characterization he gives the Grinch. It's just really cool.
And so since you wanted to wait until next year when we cover the Jim Carrey version,
did I? let's not talk about next year right now.
which is great because he actually draws on Sean Connery for his portrayal of the Grinch.
He does. I thought that was weird.
I thought, yeah, well, I did too. But I mean, I like that movie myself. But oh, okay. He couldn't do Boris Karloff.
I could tell you like that movie and you're rushed to defend it.
Oh, brother. Okay, a little bit of trivia here. Now, Boris did not sing the song, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
No, he did
not. That was none other than Thurl Ravenscroft, who is most notably for people in my generation, the voice of Tony the Tiger. He passed on several years ago. But he also did all manner of voices for Walt Disney. So if you go to Disneyland, I've never been to Disney World, but I would imagine it's the same soundtrack there. But many of the rides, speaking of Pirates of the Caribbean, Thurl Ravenscroft is all over the soundtrack for the Pirates of the Caribbean. The Haunted Mansion, he's on that. He's the lead voice for Grim Grinning Ghosts. Come out and socialize. I can't go. Nobody can go as low as him. Very few. J.D. Sumner could. But other than that.
Yes, he could. Yeah.
I think he still holds the record, as a matter of fact. Ooh. So Thurl Ravenscroft, that's a beloved holiday song. Dr. Seuss wrote the lyrics to all the songs, which should not be surprising.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The man's a poet. In fact, what are some of the words that he rhymed that are your favorites in this?
Oh, man. Hold on. You caught me off guard with that question. I'm sure I did. Think about it.
What about when he's taking stuff off the Christmas trees? Oh, maybe people already heard a little bit of it in the intro to this episode.
Well, hey, all I know is we've got pantoukas on the ceiling and pancunas on the floor.
There you go. But Dr. Seuss disputed casting Boris Karloff for fear that he would make the Grinch too scary.
No. Ooh. See, if anything, and we'll talk about the implications of that later on. But I would think to accurately portray the Grinch in the beginning of the story, you have to have a quote scary.
Well, I'm going
to
talk about that.
Yeah,
in my points.
Yeah, but you have to have that in order to show the difference at the end.
Check this out, Brandon.
Oh, sorry.
To piggyback on what you just said a few minutes ago, Boris Karloff's voice changes when he speaks for the Grinch. That's just a statement. Boris Karloff's voice changes when he speaks for the Grinch because originally he spoke in his, quote, narrator, unquote, voice throughout. After recording was complete, the highs in his voice were mechanically removed for the Grinch, giving him the gravelly voice heard in the finished version.
Oh, that's cool.
And I can tell you that as I was editing the sound clips for this, the sound recording is terrible. Well, it was 1966. I don't think that they used any compressors, any compression of any sort.
Probably not.
And so I had to fix a couple of spots where it's real low. And now I know why it's low. It's just sonically low because they took out the highs in order to give them that sound. That's pretty interesting. Let's see. Anything else? Any other? Okay. The Grinch's green color was decided by director Chuck Jones.
Because in the book, I remember what he was in the book. He was like a teal, like a dark teal, almost like the cover of the J.R.R. Tolkien Beowulf.
Oh, really?
Like a darker version of that. Which, if you watch the video, guys, you can see that book on Michael's bookshelf.
Well, in his experiences, Chuck Jones's experiences renting cars in the Washington-Baltimore area, which he claimed always turned out to be the exact shade. I guess from... I don't know what's causing all that...
that pukey green. Yeah.
So anyhow, there's a little bit of trivia for you. This is a classic. And what can we find? What can we use, Brendan? What tools can we give listeners out there so that they might share the gospel, the good news, with their friends and loved ones?
Well, we got to look at the story. And this ultimately is a story of heart transformation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Much like what we've already studied this year in the Christmas, in the month of December alone with A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life.
It is the season that lends itself to a change of heart, yes. Isn't it?
Yeah. And that, oh, that's, yeah. But
can we do a sidebar right now on that?
Let's. Okay.
If you agree with that statement, why do you think so?
Because, let's see, aside from the nativity,
mm-hmm.
I personally think the ultimate Christmas story is The Gift of the Magi.
Oh.
By O. Henry.
Okay.
Where,
O. Henry, that's a candy bar.
Now, see, that's a Seinfeld reference, sir.
Oh, well.
That is a Seinfeld reference.
Well, then he owes me money.
Okay, well, whatever. Okay, so Gift of the Magi, it ends up this, you know, this poor couple, they end up selling something that they most like, or selling something that means the most to them, in order to get the money to buy a gift that the other one needs.
That's the Mickey Mouse Christmas... oh, goodness. We've been watching that, the Mickey Mouse version of that, over and over ad nauseum. Okay.
Well, there you go.
It's a great story.
It's like he sells his pocket watch in order to buy her a brush, but she cuts her hair in order to get money to fix his pocket watch.
Right, right.
And it's you know, it's that ultimate... I wish there was a good movie version of that. I'm sure
there's a Mickey Mouse one.
Well, talk about Mickey Mouse. But, okay, to the original question... why does this season lend itself to heart transformation? Because part of the transformative property, I guess, is realizing that you have to give something up in order to help other people. It's part of the you could say it's a signpost that points to self-sacrifice.
No, amen.
And part of self-sacrificing, much like Jesus when he died on the cross. He rose transformed. He rose in a new, resurrected, glorified body. And it's that same transformation that we see.
Absolutely. And I think that we're going to ultimately answer that question in this episode.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'd like to tack onto that, which I won't get to in this episode, probably not this whole entire Christmas season, but I just want to throw it out there because I think it does fit. And it's like what we teach our children is, all right, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians don't like Santa Claus thing at all. Okay.
Right.
And I vehemently disagree with them. If that's how you want to conduct your family, that's fine. I'm not going to say anything bad about that. But what I like about Santa Claus is that it's a perfect opportunity to tell kids, see this gift? You didn't deserve this gift. You know? Watch out. Santa Claus is watching all the time and stuff. Okay, well, that promotes legalism.
See, and that's a there's a certain word you use that I haven't forgotten. Capricious.
Yes,
that denotes a capricious mm-hmm. God.
Yes,
really.
Yep. And yeah, exactly. You do this, and then I'll do that. No.
Yeah, that's not how God works.
God gives the gift
freely,
and nobody deserved it.
Exactly.
Nobody was naughty. I mean, nice enough. Nobody was nice enough. Like your death catcher there. We're appreciating the return of the death catcher on this episode.
Hey, I've got my death catcher and my vitamin C.
And so I think it's a good opportunity to teach kids that. Hey, we give because we first received. You know, we received the greatest gift, and that was in that nativity scene. Right.
And really quick, that goes even further back to we love
because
he first loved us.
Amen.
And oh,
so,
man.
So there you go. And
well,
so,
that's the show, guys.
Exactly. It's a change of heart season. Let's give these folks a tool so that when they are sitting on that
double decker couch,
they can help their friends and loved ones have a change of heart.
Well, I honestly, I got to go back to the climax of the show.
Okay.
To the to the Grinch show, not the climax of our show, but
we're still waiting for that.
Yeah, you know the Grinch. He's one. I love the song. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. He is one bad banana that's as cuddly as a cactus that we wouldn't want to touch with a 39.5-foot pole.
Right.
And given the choice between the two of them, we take what, Michael?
The seasick crocodile.
Yes, exactly. He has just pillaged the Who's down in Whoville of their Christmas presents. Christmas presents, we don't really know how the Who's did their giving. We might find out more about that next year. but all I know is that these presents have been set in place, and the town's asleep. He goes in and, you know, dressed as a really grinchy Saint Nick, he goes in and does the opposite. He steals them. He takes them all for himself, and he expects them to mourn over this tragic event.
Poo-poo to the Who's, he was grinchily humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear.
Mm. See, and that's what he wants
really
to hear.
Is a stinker.
Yeah, he is. Well, his heart is three sizes too small. No, two sizes too
yes,
small.
They're two. It's two sizes too small.
Yeah. His heart is two sizes too small, and it really comes through in this scene in particular when he leans over the cliff. You know, he leans over the edge, and he wants to hear the sounds of, you know, little Whovian children crying.
Yeah.
Heck, even the parents will start crying because their food's been taken too. Food they had to live on.
Yes.
He's taken not only the presents, but food and livelihood pretty much.
He's going down sustenance. Wiping them out.
Yeah, he is draining them dry. You might even say bloodletting. I don't want to say that, but that's a little grotesque there. Anyway, so he's standing on the edge of the cliff, and he puts his hand to his ear. Oh, sorry. I play the other clip. I ruined it.
He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. What? This sound sounded glad. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Yeah. Now, this part is pretty epic. First, let me just touch on a poetic device used.
Please.
Yeah. I got it written out here. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. Now, the couplet rhyme there is set by the words small and all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. So that's the couplet right there. And it's all one sentence divided up into two lines. And the way that the sentence, that the idea is cut, lends itself to emphasizing the unity of the Who's.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
this is a technique called caesura.
Say what?
Caesura.
Jura.
No, not, no, that's the name of it. Caesura.
Oh, okay.
C-A-E-S-U-R-A. Caesura. Which harkens back to Caesar, or the phrase Caesar meaning cut, meaning like cesarean section.
Put it in the blog post.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so anyway, this is some high-level English stuff, and this is where this is coming from. But the fact that the next line starts with was singing, that is what highlights, like I said, the unity of the Who's. And it further underscores, yes, I was about to say underlines, but it doesn't underline. But it further underscores the fact that what happens in the next couplet, he hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Yeah.
Somehow or other, it came just the same. And this is that moment when the Grinch realizes that all his work that he just did
was for naught.
And in fact, in the song that they were just singing, they've been singing the song the whole time. They sang it at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Sang it the whole time. And the Grinch somehow has been missing it. And I want to say that he probably missed it at the beginning because he didn't have ears to hear it.
Right.
What gave him the ears to hear this little song was the fact that he had just tried his best to destroy it. And he wanted
powerful lesson in that.
He wanted to hear, he wanted to experience the fruits of his labor. He wanted them. I don't know if he wanted a moldy purple tomato or whatever, but he wanted to relish in the glory that he has just won. And he wanted to prove to the Who's that Christmas isn't in presents. I skipped ahead of myself. He wanted to prove that without the presents, they would have nothing. Almost kind of like how Scrooge cast out the phrase humbug, calling everyone a fraud.
Right.
Essentially, that's what the Grinch is doing here.
There's huge similarities between the two stories.
Yeah, he's calling the whole town of Whoville a fraudulent community because he's saying that they only base Christmas on presents and gifts and packages, boxes and bags.
Right.
When actually, hold on. I'm not jumping ahead.
Okay.
Did I jump ahead? I'm sorry.
Don't miss this last sound clip.
No, I'm not going to. I do want to, before we play it though, just remind the audience that in the song itself, what the message that the Grinch ignored.
Uh-huh.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp.
Oh, the feelies. Oh, yes. I love it.
Now let's play that third sound clip.
Sentimental Hogwarts.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Get out of here, Potter.
And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Oh-ho! See, now that he has ears to hear it, his heart is ready. You could compare it to his heart is now being turned into good soil. He's ready
absolutely.
To receive. He's ready to receive the fact that maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And this is what ultimately starts the transformation within the Grinch's heart. And it doesn't culminate until the sled full of all the toys and the food and the supplies until it starts sliding down almost to its destruction. But he catches it with the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2, you know, and he holds it up and it's that triumphant scene. And then he races down the mountain back into Whoville and he excuse me, he starts handing out all the toys again, just like he was the real Saint Nick. Which, by the way, history of Christmas, the origin of Christmas. Get over to the Theonauts.
Yes.
Some good discussion there. And really, like I said, this is what the Grinch is about. And as we've already said, this is what this particular season lends itself to. And it makes me think of the Psalms.
Oh, well, does it? So are we getting to your
double-decker couch
moment here?
We could, yeah.
No. I mean, you're going to tell the listeners what to do with this information.
Yeah. Okay, yes. With this in mind, you can always point out Psalms 51, verse 10.
What is that?
Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a resolute spirit within me. Now, after seeing how this story of heart transformation pans out, that should be pretty convicting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's honestly, I think, the summation of the Grinch.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're both going to use the same key text, but now Brendan, we sing this song, and I don't know what version it's taken out of. But how's it go?
I think it's I think it's NIV version.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
How's it go? Creating me do you want to sing it? Clean heart, oh God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Okay, I don't like that version.
Well, why not? I think it's a nice version.
It's a very nice version, but it misses something very important, Brendan.
Oh, no.
How about the NET, the New English Translation? And remember, the New English Translation with over 60,000 translators' notes, they will tell you why they are translating things the way they translate it. Why don't the other versions do us that courtesy? Hey, this is why we translated it this way. Here's all the evidence that we had, all the manuscript evidence, and this seems to be the best translation of this, and here is why. I like that. That's a great service to provide. In the NET, Psalm 51:10. Here's your key text, your key verse, friends. I'm getting it right out of the way. Create for me a pure heart, O God. Renew a resolute spirit within me. Well, what's the difference? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me. Okay. The NET version is very personal. It is tailor-made, this heart. Don't just create a heart, a pure heart in me, O Lord. Create for me, personally, tailor-made. And I believe that God does that. Tailor-made. What is wrong with the Grinch? You've been saying over and over, Brendan, this change of heart. The change of heart, and it goes back to where we learn who the Grinch is and what makes him tick right at that beginning.
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Oh, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Who's.
Oh, goodness. We don't know the exact reason, but regardless, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Who's. But the narrator believes that it's because he had a heart that's two sizes too small. That's where his problem lies. And you know what? He's absolutely right. But, Brendan, let's just think about this logically. If you possessed a heart that was two sizes too small, that heart's no good. Okay? It's not going to perform any function. heart has to be the right size and pump the right amount of blood and so many beats per minute to maintain your body. If it's two sizes too small, you don't need a change of heart, Brendan. You need a new heart.
Mm.
You need a new heart. Create for me a pure heart, oh God. See, the difference, again, getting back to those translations, create in me a clean heart, oh God. That's kind of like calling down to the tailor and saying, hey, would you make me a suit? I'll be down, you know, in a couple of weeks to pick it up. Okay. Or, hey, I need to come down and get fitted for a suit. Can you make me a suit? Can you make a suit for me? Yeah, come down. We'll get it tailor-made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a big difference there. He doesn't need a change of heart. He needs a new heart. Now, I want to go to the Beatitudes, Brendan, because when you want to get some good wisdom, who do you go to? Go to the man, right?
The man himself,
let's
yeah.
go to the man. The man comes around, as Johnny Cash would sing. Matthew 5, verse 8, in the New English Translation, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Oh, okay, well then, that's telling us, it seems to me, Brendan, that's telling us that all we need to do is have a pure heart, right? It's kind of like how we like to say the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And some for some reason we pour in all kinds of meaning that's not in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what that means is if you're if you are living a righteous life and you are a pillar of society, you are the king Christian, then God will hear your prayer. No, the prayer of a righteous man. How do we become righteous? When we are clothed in the blood of Christ, the righteous one, right? Okay, so I'm making these points because I grew up, Brendan, reading that, the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, and me knowing in my heart's not so pure. My heart's not so pure. Am I going to see God? I'm going to answer that for all you listeners out there. And here's the key. Here, this is what happened with the Grinch there at that finale. In fact, I clipped the finale, Brendan, so that we can hear in his own words exactly what happened.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And then the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches. Plus two.
All right.
There
so
you go.
There's a radical transformation took place. You explained that radical translation and did it so ably that I'm just going to unpack that a little bit and show what happened inside the Grinch. So because of these things, and he saw God, he met Jesus, basically. He had his come to Jesus meeting, and he met Jesus.
Yep.
And he, in his spirit, cried out, create for me a pure heart, O God. Why? Because Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Create for me a pure heart. It's not indicative of us, Brendan. We cannot create for me ourselves a pure heart. You can't do it. You don't have that power.
Nope.
Not in the natural state that we're in. And we, our natural state of man, in fact, this is what you do when you're sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your buddy and your loved ones. You say, hey, you know what? I was the Grinch. That's how you start the conversation. I was the Grinch. What? Huh? When they do the Scooby-Doo, what do you mean? I was... opposed to God in my natural state, as opposed to all good things in my natural state. I was self-centered in my natural state, and because I hated Christmas, I hated the Who's for loving Christmas, and I wanted to take it away. I wanted to destroy it, because that would please me, I thought, until I met God. Now, in Ezekiel, this is one of my very favorite passages, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It's the second time God said this to the children of Israel. But this one happens immediately prior to the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also I would like to point out as another sidebar, I'm throwing in all kinds of extra stuff. This is just extra because I'm in the Christmas giving spirit that, you know, there's a real parallel between Jesus and Ezekiel, a real parallel between the two. It's almost as if one is the perfected Ezekiel. And what's the number one thing that I can think of that they those two have in common? Prophesy, O Son of Man. Son of Man. The Son of Man came not eating and drinking, and you say he has a demon. Jesus constantly referred to himself as the Son of Man. You know, and that is to show, yes, I am. I have dual nature. But I also find a real connection to the prophecies of Ezekiel in his day and Jesus, what he was fulfilling that stuff in his day. And one of them is the Valley of Dry Bones.
Yeah.
And right before that, Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I will give you a renewed heart, a change of heart. No, I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. Spirit, I think that's the same word. I think that's pneumonos. I believe that's the same word in the translation as breath, the breath of life, that spirit. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone, that heart that is two times too small. That's no good, Grinch. Instead, I will give you a heart that's three sizes too big.
Yep.
There you go. That is the change that takes place in Christians, and that's why you can say to your friends and your loved ones as you're watching this 1966 animated special, and you can say, I was the Grinch. And they won't have any idea what you're talking about. What, you hated Christmas? No, no, no. Let me explain to you what's going on in here and what Brendan taught me. And then what Michael pointed out to me, right? So your key verse, all you have to remember, friends, Psalm 51:10, create for me a pure heart, O God. Renew a resolute spirit within me. That'll give you the strength of 10 who plus 2,
mm-hmm.
right? And when that happens, then Jesus says to you, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Thoughts, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Actually, yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's actually close this with a look at 1 Thessalonians.
Please.
1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Now may God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another, and for all, just as we do for you, so that your hearts are strengthened in holiness to be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all of his saints.
And that right there is the sign of a Christian. That's the sign of a person that God has created a new heart for,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you have that new heart, you will increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Amen.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Man. What else?
Not, man, I think that's it.
Feedback! Brendan, we got a great comment from the third host of Finding Christ in Cinema.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Ron of the Red Oaks on Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 34, which is Finding Christ in the Lego Movie. Man, we had a great time on that episode, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he left a comment on there. It says, I love the fact that Emmett has seen, quote, the man upstairs, unquote, and the rest of the world thinks he's an idiot of sorts. Vitruvius was right about everyone having too much stuff clouding their minds to see, quote, the man upstairs, unquote. Maybe we have too much stuff in our heads keeping us from hearing the man upstairs. Emmett's desire for the directions is exactly what we need. God's directions. You see, the whole world has it wrong, and Emmett has it right. Only the world and even this movie and the writers get it wrong. I love all the cleverly written lines from this movie. It's very fun to quote amongst our family. Our family has, well, they all have their own favorite quotes. Mine, says Ron, are Vitruvius saying, "That idea is just the worst." And Batman's, "I only work in black." Or it's sometimes very dark gray. My youngest likes Batman saying, "First try," after 20-some-odd attempts. So he has a question for us. What is your favorite quote from this movie?
Well, Ron, I'm right there with you with Vitruvius.
Yeah.
I love here. What I like about Vitruvius in the Lego movie is that he's just the right amount of, of heart and a good solid character with just another right amount of absurdity.
Yes.
And I don't want to call it like, you know, plain speak because he's
wearing Crocs. He's got, yeah, he's absurd. I like it.
He's so fun. And I think my favorite part, kind of like what you were talking about, Ron, with, you know, when he's talking about how clouded other people's minds are. Well, there's the scene where they're inside Emmett's brain.
Yes.
And Emmett says, "Whoa, are we inside my brain right now? It's big. I must be smart." And then Vitruvius says, "I'm not hearing a whole lot of activity in here." I think that's my favorite quote from the whole movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's it.
What about, I mean, there's so many Batman quotes.
Well, Michael, see, I didn't say Batman because I knew you were going to say Batman.
Well, I don't know that I am going to say Batman, but I know that there are too many good ones. Okay, I have to give two.
Okay.
Which may snowball after that.
You know what? I can't stop you, so.
First is they're fighting at Cloud City or Cloud Cuckoo Land, and Batman is up on a thing fighting people, hop-a-chow, pow, ka-chow, and stuff, and Firefox, or whatever her name is, Latin fire, lightning, light my fire.
Wild style.
Wild style. There's no fire in it
at
all.
What are you talking
about? I don't know. But she says...
I should have just let you keep going. She said,
babe, you know, blah, blah, blah. Come down here. He says, "Hey, I said every man for himself." So, "Babe, remember, you got to be there for me, remember?" And he goes, as his head's spinning around, and he's all, fine, and jumps down there, beats everybody, fine. That's one of my very favorites. So I do that to my wife. She'll ask me to do something. I'll go, fine. But also Princess Unikitty, when she has to cover for Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And she's in the business meeting, and she's up on the table and go, you know, business, numbers, how am I doing? And the robot's all, fine. She'll, yay! So I like business, numbers. That's another one of my favorites. Of course, Batman in clouds, when they first get to Cloud Cuckoo Land, all of a sudden you see him standing there, and he's surrounded by clowns and stuff. He's like, "I hate this place."
Yep.
I don't know if I want to, when Emmett is giving his big motivational speech there in Cloud Cuckoo Land. And it just instantly falls flat, and everybody's revolting. He says, "Well, there's going to be a butt at the end." And Gandalf says, "You're a butt." I'm sorry.
See, listeners, I told you I would let him keep going.
I'm immature. But okay, but what about Ron's points in this comment?
He's got some good ones, especially, again, going back to being inside Emmett's brain and how Vitruvius talks about how other people's brains are clouded, and it kind of reminds me of what we talked about, the Grinch. He didn't have ears to hear.
That's right.
He wasn't ready for that. He, you could say he had his heart hardened, or his heart was hardened, so much so that his heart wasn't a good soil for the seed.
Yep. So how about you guys out there listening? What did you think of the Lego Movie episode? Did you have any thoughts that you wanted to add to Ron's? You can do that on the episode itself. Just find the episode there on ChristInCinema.com and go down to the comment section and leave a comment. Or you could call into our voice line at 507-407-GCTN and leave us a voicemail. Get involved. Let us know what you think. Help us produce these shows. Any other feedback for this episode?
No, I think we're ready for
three, two, one. Yeah, I'm excited. Let's go. All right, I have a lightning round for you all, and it is this is inspired by Ron of the Red Oaks. Once again, our third co-host. He had, he's usually calling. His voicemails are like when he's on his way to work or whatever, calling on a little rinky-dink phone. See, he's like me. We don't have smartphones because, like me, I don't like talking on the phone anyway. And plus, I never leave the house, so all my stuff is right here, right? Everything that I need. But he got an idea where he said, "Hey, wait a second! I can actually record little MP3s or digital files and email them to you, and it'll sound a whole lot clearer." And so I wanted to just throw that out for you. Most of you out there have smartphones, and most of your smartphones have a voice recorder so that you can take audio notes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Use that.
Yeah.
Use that. Record a message. That way, if you goof up, you can re-record it. You can write your script. Do whatever you want to do. Just call, and it'll be nice and crystal clear. Record that, and then email it to us. At FCC, for Finding Christ in Cinema, FCC@GCTNetwork.com. That's your tip for this week.
My lightning round is something I really kind of meant to mention in the personal updates at the beginning of the show. Me and some friends, we got a little Christmas caroling group going on.
Yeah, you told us about this a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
And you were going to go out and visit old folks' homes and nursing homes.
Well,
and
that's still part of the plan.
Okay,
we're still trying to work on schedules right now.
Then what have you been doing?
Well, Michael, in the show notes, I'm going to give you guys a link to our Facebook page, which we just started this year. We've collected some old videos. Right now, there's one of us doing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Yeah.
Not just because it's my favorite Christmas carol, but because it's one that we actually have recorded.
And because we talked about it on the last episode, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Time works like that.
Yes.
We also have a cover of The 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, nice.
You didn't get to watch it. Oh,
no.
Michael. Michael, you will especially love what we do.
Okay.
Okay. But this year we tried something new. We always like to go for like a little medley. And see what we can combine and put together in new ways. And this year, we actually have an original arrangement of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, that's great.
And if you want to hear it, if you want to hear that song, if you want to hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or you want to see us perform, yes, perform the 12 Days of Christmas, just get over to the Facebook page. We call ourselves the Legends Carolers, because we actually started 6 years ago just caroling at Legends at the restaurant.
Yes.
So, there's a Christmas tree.
Organic grassroots movement.
Yeah, hey.
I love it.
And you know what? There was even an article in the Times Gazette a while back. I think it was last week or something.
Oh, okay.
That said, that had a Murfreesboro musician saying that there was a shortage of Christmas carols.
Or carolers.
Carolers.
Okay.
I'll say, yeah, carolers. And I just silently thought to myself, how dare he?
Well,
the nerve of the man.
See, and I always thought that song was Mark and Gerald, the Angels Sing. So there's a couple angels.
Mark and Gerald, Angels Sing.
No, Mark and Gerald, the Angels Sing. So it's like a couple guys from heaven.
Okay, well, anyway.
Anyhow.
So yeah, that's my lightning round today.
Good. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. They're on... find a link to that in the blog post for this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. Now, we're going to throw it back out to you listeners out there, talking about how the Grinch stole Christmas with the wonderful Boris Karloff.
Yes.
What Christian themes did you find in this classic? What did we miss? Let us know so that we can talk about it on an upcoming episode so we can let people out there know. Don't hide your information. Don't be stingy. Do not hide your light under a bushel.
Hey, there you go.
Let us know. We'll give you all the different ways of communicating with us here in just a minute. But what other listener participation do we have this episode?
Well, guys, we are coming up to the end of the year, and that will actually mark a year's worth of Finding Christ in Cinema.
Wow.
Which is really weird to think about.
Wow.
And before we get too deep into it, we want to ask you guys the question, what are your favorite moments, episodes, even Monday movie reviews from this past year?
Anything that you can find on our website, Finding Christ in Cinema's website at christincinema.com. What is your favorite things from this past year?
Yeah, and you know, we're not looking for like a detailed explanation point by point with supportive. No.
Just what is it and why?
Like just a quick comment on what it is and why you personally liked it. And we might end up talking about it on our year-end show.
Yeah, well, actually, is that our year-end or our New Year show?
Well, we'll record it on the Tuesday.
After Christmas?
After Christmas, but we'll actually release it.
Oh, okay, so it will be the last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But, because we'll release it, we'll record it on the Tuesday.
Oh, it'll be the New Year's Day episode.
No, it'll be the New Year's Eve episode. Because we'll record it on the 29th, on the 30th.
Okay, so it will be...
recorded on the 30th.
It will be the last episode of the year.
Yes, on the very last day of the year. Yes.
Okay, so reminisce with us over the last year of Finding Christ in Cinema. What was your favorite moment? Something that made you laugh that we did? What was your favorite episode? What was your favorite Monday movie review? Anything. Just let us know, and we'd like to share that on that episode. What's going to happen next week, Brendan? We got Christmas coming up.
Christmas coming up. We'll be in the studio earlier.
Yes, on Tuesday
as well. Yeah, and we'll be looking at the Polar Express.
Oh, you have any ideas about that?
Not yet. Because I haven't seen it in a while. I know for you. I know for you guys over here, it's a tradition.
It's tradition. That's our Christmas Eve movie. And I got some ideas brewing up. We'll have to talk about that. Do you have any ideas of your own out there? Any Christian themes that you found in The Polar Express?
And if you let us know in time, we'll actually include you on the show.
Please, by all means.
Which is what we want to do, guys. Hello.
And that all happens right here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Get to the official website. I've mentioned it many times this episode, christincinema.com. That has links to everything that we do over there. Send those email to fcc@gctnetwork.com. And still no P.O. Box. I've forgotten all about that.
You can call us up on the voice line.
And cough.
At 507-407-GCTN. And for those who don't like falafel.
Well, I don't like falafel.
That's 507-407-4286.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
Now, let's say you want to listen to the good old traditional podcast.
Yes.
You can search iTunes, as if you are a strange little man.
Oh, no.
You are a sad, strange little man.
You can search Stitcher for some
bumbling band of baboons.
Or you can search TuneIn Radio for some sentimental...
Haircut to it!
Okay, or not. You can search iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio for Finding Christ in Cinema, and you will find us there.
And leave us a 5-star review and some nice comments over there. That helps us be discovered by other movie-loving Christians out there. For all the content that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including the Theonauts podcast, get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
No, I think we did a good job today.
It's ghastly.
And that is a wrap!
Rattling, bumbling band of baboon.
Well-mannered.
It's a man house! A man house!
What a bunch of hippie dippy baloney.
I'm a miracle man.
There's no such thing as magic.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.